get your Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 150. I'm going to try to tie in a little bit with what Pastor's been preaching about in defense of our worship. I felt this strong in prayer this whole week. This whole week I felt this strongly, and I hope I can do it justice for what I feel. Sometimes I have a hard time of getting it out across, but I'm going to try my best. I told Sister Sarah, I was like, and she tells me all the time, I have a terrible time of beating around the bush. All I do is just beat around the bush when I'm trying to tell her something. I just beat around. She's like, what are you trying to say? Just tell me. I'm like, all right. So I'm going to attempt to try to do that, and it still might be, but I'm going to do my best, and we're going to let God move here tonight. Amen. After Psalms 150, we'll be going to John chapter number 4. But in Psalms 150, he says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. In John chapter number 4, in verse number 23 says, But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For just a little bit of time, I don't feel like I'm going to be long at all tonight. I'm going to preach a little bit about old time Pentecost for a new generation. Old time Pentecost for a new generation. Let's ask God to move here tonight in this service. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we worship you. We worship you tonight. All in Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. Some of you are probably going to look at me like, well, duh, Micah. But I'm just going to be pinpointed tonight. This church is New Life Tabernacle. We as a body are the church. This is New Life Tabernacle. We are an apostolic Pentecostal church. We believe in the book of Acts. There's no way around Acts 2:38. To be saved, you must repent. You must be baptized. And you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no beating around it. There's no accepting the Lord as your Savior. There's nothing. You must have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Each and every single person in this room has the capability to experience the book of Acts. None of us are written off from the book of Acts experience. I have this later on, but as 5 years old, I received the Holy Ghost. When I was only 5 years old, in May, I received the Holy Ghost. I think my brother was 7 years old. There's no age limit on how old you can receive the Holy Ghost. I've heard Pastor preach, I've seen 80-plus year olds receive the Holy Ghost. There is no limit of how old you can be when you receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As we know in Acts 2:30, he says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. The story did not end there, though, because in verse 39, he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. There's no limit on who needs the Holy Ghost. It did not end thousands of years ago. It is very alive and still alive today. Still today for you and your children. In Jesus' name. This goes for us today. It's not just for Peter. It's not just for his apostles. It's not just for me back when I was 5 or Marcus when he was 7. And all of a sudden there's like a 2012 change. And the babies after 2012 don't have to receive the Holy Ghost. Everyone must have the Holy Ghost. This is the apostolic Pentecostal way. This is God's way. of how you must be saved. We also believe in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I kind of stole a saying from past messages that my dad's preached. But we are absolutely apostolic. And we are passionately Pentecostal. We don't sit aside and I believe there's churches there who do that when they're apostolic or they claim to be apostolic and Pentecostal, but it's all a show. But we are absolutely apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled saints of God, and we're passionately Pentecostal, passionate about this faith, passionate about what God's doing in our church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In this church, we still believe in miracles. We still believe that God can do the miraculous. We still believe that God can cause blessings. We still believe that there can be deliverances. Doesn't matter what you're addicted to. You could be addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, video games. Does not matter. I know a God, because I know a God, and he's still just as real as he was back then. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. We believe in God performing the supernatural. Amen. We have absolutely faith that God can and will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. There's no limits on what God can do. There's absolutely no limits. I know I've said this before, but there, in my mind, I'm feeling, I would like to believe that I'm one who my faith is without question. I'm not talking about like, oh, man, is God real? I'm talking about my faith in what God can do. I feel like it is without question. And I believe if God were to try me, I could without a shadow of a doubt. There might not be something I'm going through right now. But my faith still stands. I trust in God. I'll tell you, I had, and there's a couple reasons why. Living with my parents, there's been times when we haven't known what we're going to do. That's just trials of going through what your life might bring. You don't know. There's just multiple situations that you're going to go through. People who's going to turn their backs on you. Just things that are going to happen in life. There's going to be, whether it be health issues, multiple issues. But I still don't question, regardless if God chooses to not or to heal, he still has the power to do it. I don't even question that. There was a long time ago, I tore my meniscus playing basketball. I think I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I went to Heritage. I could hardly even walk up little mountains. I had to ride on Marcus's back to the van. And he would carry me up these mountains. I would have to go across we were going to the Royal Gorge. And it hurt so bad. It was such in pain. But y'all see me how I am. I'm very energetic. I'm very enthusiastic. I can't sit still. I hate sitting still. It drives me nuts. And one of the things that really like pained me the worst is when I got to church. It was Heritage Youth Conference. When I got to church, my dad came to me. He's like, hey, you might, and by the way, this was not bad. It was very good. He's like, you might need to sit back here with your grandma. He's like, because you don't need to get up there and aggravate and totally mess up your knee. And I was like, I understand. And I agreed. I hated it. Everything was burning in me. When I'd sit there and I'd watch those young people get to worship and something would eat inside of me. Because that was my passion. That was my desire. But it was so hard because of the pain I was feeling in my knee. But the very last night of Heritage, the minister preached. And he was preaching about faith. And there was a girl who had been on crutches her whole life. I don't remember exactly what she had. But she had been on these crutches her whole life. And also next thing we know, we look over and Brother Burgess is sitting there shaking him in the air. Just shaking him, and she was out there dancing. God healed her from her entire life. God, she does not have to use those anymore. One of my best friends, he's like our brother. He hadn't gotten the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, he told us after this service that he prayed, God, if I don't get the Holy Ghost this conference, I don't think I'm going back to church. Well, this minister started preaching, and my friend went to the front. Someone laid hands on him immediately. We had prayed for this young man probably 5 to 6 years. Immediately, hands were laid, he fell down, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost. It was such a joyous experience. But I made up my mind. I was like, God, if I don't even get my healing, seeing him filled with the Holy Ghost was worth it. seeing the Holy Ghost. And I was glad I was up at the front then, but I was standing up near the platform. But then a preacher came up to me and he was like, Micah, I've had this exact same situation that you're going through right now. He goes, you got faith? And I was like, yes, sir, I do. He's like, I'm going to pray for you. He goes, because this happened to me. But I'm telling you something else. He goes, somebody prayed for me. He goes, and I was able to go out running the next day. I was like, let's do it. He laid his hands off me and started praying for me. And I started speaking in tongues and praying. And then he put his hands around his knee. And he just walked off. And then I was kind of like standing lopsided on the stairs. I was kind of sideways. And I was like, by faith, I was like, God, I don't feel anything right now. I don't feel like a miraculous zap or something, like a tingling. But I just lifted up like stair on a stair that I could not do. And there was no pain. I was like, what? No way, no way, no way. So I went back to it. I felt no pain. So I kind of like started going like this. I felt no, there was nobody around me. Everybody was focused on what was going on the other side. And I was like, no, God. I was like, I don't feel pain. So I started jumping up and down. And I was like, God, I don't feel nothing anymore. That night, I was playing basketball with the young people. Probably not the smartest thing to do, but God healed me right there, right that very moment. It was a miracle. I'm still so grateful. Whether he chooses to do anything like that for me ever again, I will always believe that he will heal and he can do miracles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With all that said, we cannot come to church and just expect God to perform these miracles. We can't just come to church. I feel I got that miracle because I stepped out in faith. I stepped out in faith and it was a direct call. Micah, do you have faith God can do this? I didn't even think twice. I was like, yes, he can. He's like, we're going to pray for you right now. I didn't even question it, but I did. I was not just sitting over on the front row just staring at all my friends. I was not. My friends were over there getting their own touches. I was not doing that. I was super happy. I was praying. I was trying to take it easy, but I answered in faith. I answered what God was trying to beckon. He questioned, not questioned, but he challenged my faith. We can't just sit there in church expecting God to do miracles for us. We get out what we put in. You put in sitting on a pew, you're probably going to leave after you get off from sitting on the pew. If you want something spectacular to happen, get up off the pew. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I'm serious. Get off the pew. You're not going to get a miracle sitting on your pew. You're not going to get delivered, young people, sitting on your pew. If you're going through challenges in your life, get involved. Get involved in what God wants to do in the church. Hallelujah. Being Pentecostal and apostolic, being children of God, we are not normal by any means. In my opinion, normal is sitting on the pew. I just imagine going to a Baptist church and a bunch of people sitting there with their eyes closed and hands together, just sitting on a pew. That's what I picture. I picture going to a Catholic church, doing whatever motions they do. I don't even know if that's Catholic. And they're just nonchalant. There's nothing involved in it. They just sit there and they're emotionless. There's nothing involved in their church. There's no power. There's nothing. They just sit there. But we are not normal. We are not normal. I refuse to be normal. But as children of God, we're not normal. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, he said, but ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light, which in times past were not people, but are now people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There's one more verse I want to read in Acts. Let me turn there. But having the Holy Ghost, we preached about having, in the beginning, we preached about having the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that she should not part from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye have been baptized with Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse number 8, I know I've talked about this in the last message, but I feel it again. We are a peculiar people, right? But ye shall receive power. With that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is power. You're peculiar because of the Holy Ghost. You've got to respond. Get off the pew and respond to what the Holy Ghost has. Hallelujah. I don't show in my Bible anywhere where the people in the book of Acts just sat there and meditated. It doesn't say, oh, they meditated in an upper room for the promise. I bet you they were praying in the Holy Ghost. When I think it was Apostle Paul was in jail, what were they doing when he was in jail? They were praying. They were praying in the Spirit to the point where when he came and knocked on their door, they're like, man, they didn't even let him in. They were so shocked. I mean, I'm not going to be shocked if God does miracles. But they were praying steadfastly in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't say your meditated prayer. You ain't going to read, like God ain't going to come down and read your mind. If you want to connect the fervent prayer, getting connected in the Holy Ghost, getting connected to what God has. It ain't looking around at all my friends. It ain't seeing who's coming through the front door. It's getting connected in the Holy Ghost with what God wants to do. Hallelujah. But what I've really been praying about and feeling is God wants to do something very special. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but since we've been here, I can name for sure two since we've been here. I know there's more, but Brother Wesley's received the Holy Ghost. Brother Henry's received the Holy Ghost. And I heard someone else receive the Holy Ghost this morning. God's doing something. God's doing something. It makes me want to run the aisles. I feel the Holy Ghost in it. People are being filled with the Holy Ghost here. Jesus. But we got to step out. He's not done. Three people, God's not done. Like he said, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There's way more. I would not be surprised by the time we could buy a new building that this church is completely filled to capacity. It would not shock me one bit. But we're not going to get there being normal. We're not going to get there doing what we've always done. I think it was Albert Einstein said something. It's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and expecting different results. If you're expecting something to happen, quit doing the same thing. If you're doing math and you're like coming up with the answer 5 on 2 plus 2, you're doing something wrong. Your answer's not going to change doing the same methods. You got to figure out what you're doing wrong. Amen. I've kind of pieced together and I was talking to the young people. If we're hearing the same message from multiple preachers over and over, something's not clicking. And I say this for me. I'm not saying this for something's not clicking. If I promise you, if my mom had to tell me something twice, it's not going to be good for me. It ain't going to be good for me because, number one, I didn't listen the first time. So that means she's telling me the second time. And if I heard it a third time, I promise my Southern parents believed in spankings. I promise I was getting grounded and spanked because I was told 3 times. In my opinion, same goes when we're hearing it over the pulpit. Pastor's got to preach it once, and all of a sudden we come to church and he's preaching it again. It's not clicking. We're not doing something right. What happens if an evangelist comes through and you're just sitting back like, Pastor's already preached this. Pastor's already preached this. Well, hello. Hello. There's a obviously, because it says preaching, it's by holy men of God. When we preach, it's because God spoke to us. It's not because someone makes a phone call and says, hey, preach this. It's God talking to you. God talking to the preacher and the preacher delivering God's message. So if you ain't listening time one, time two, come time three, we better make a change. We better make a change or God's going to leave us behind. We got to listen to what God wants to do, but we got to step out by faith. Amen. That was for free. That was for free. Amen. I have that nowhere in my notes. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about an old-time Pentecost for a new generation. I remember those times, and I'm getting somewhere. Don't take this badly, but I remember those times when I'd be going to church and evangelizing, and I'd see people running the aisles. I remember one time that I think I've only seen this once, but there was a man who took off running the backs of the pews. I think, pretty sure they were bolted down. But he took off running in the back to the pews, and I was like, whoa. But if I'm not mistaken, that man got slain in the Holy Ghost right after that. To remember coming around, there's been young people, men, running. All of a sudden, they just drop, rolling in the floor. Pentecostals, holy rollers. All of these men are rolling in the floor. I look over, and these women shouting their hair down. But the thing is they blocked out all surroundings. All surroundings. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about me. All I know is I've got something I need tonight. I've got something. But even regardless if I might not need anything right now. I might not need an answer right now. But you don't know what you're going to need tomorrow. At the same time, you don't know if you're the key to this person getting their miracle. You don't know if you're the key to this person stepping out by faith. You don't know what you might be. And if you block the spirit, what's going to happen? That's you need to step. But there's one thing that I'm trying to get to, and that's stepping out of your comfort zone. If your hands are in it, God can't put his hands in it. If you're trying to block in God's hands, trying to do your own way, you're not giving God any leeway on what he can do. You need to get your hands out and let God do what he needs to do. Amen. Example. And I feel like that's where God wants this church to get, where we're stepping out of our comfort zone in faith. Stepping out. I heard it one time, spontaneous worship. Spontaneous. The devil ain't going to tell you to roll on the floor, young people. He ain't going to tell you ladies to shout your hair down. He ain't going to say dance in a circle, run the aisles. He ain't going to say that. He's going to say, sit down. So if you're like, oh, man, pastor's going to come out and be like, hey, stop rolling in the floor. No, that's not, it's God. You need to respond by faith. There's no telling what type of experience you can get in your life. Let me give you one example, and I'm almost done. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter number 14 and verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered unto him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is the, I know it's kind of contrary to what I was saying, but this is the norm that God wants us to get to. Stepping out by faith, it's the norm is totally abnormal. Stepping out by faith, no one ever can walk on water. That's Jesus. So when we step out by faith and start walking on water, that's the norm Jesus wants us to get to. Just stepping out, spontaneous. I'm sure Peter hadn't planned, yep, today I'm going to walk on water with God. It was spontaneous. He's like, Lord, if it's you, let me come out. And he's like, come. He's like, all right, God. He just stepped out by faith and started walking on water. But then, hold up, one more. In the next verse in Matthew 14 and 30, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The time when Peter tried to put his own hand, he took his eyes off of God, is when he started to sink. But as long as his eyes were on God, Peter was walking on water. God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how I'm at this point, but he's just being spontaneous. I'm totally out of his comfort zone. I wouldn't be comfortable walking on water. Amen. But I feel that God wants to do some miraculous things in this church. Regardless if it's revival, which I know it's revival, and miracles and healings, it's time we get out of our comfort zone, church. It's time you stop doing the same thing we've always done. If it's not working, do something else. But the thing is how bad do you want what you need? How bad do you want it? If you really want it, stop doing the same thing you've always done. How are you going to get something with mediocre worship? Now, Trust me, I'm not trying to say everybody needs to be like me or anything like that. It's not the case. You give God the worship that he deserves from you. I can't worship for you. You can't worship for him. You've got to do it for yourself. And I know as a young person, it's not easy stepping out of your comfort zone. It's not easy. I still remember the first time that I rolled it. It was actually concrete. But was that when we were in Aransas Pass. And it was actually my dad was preaching. And we had no aisles to run in. We'd run outside. But my dad was preaching some message. And I think he was saying, do something different. Do something different. Do something different. Do something different. And I know I needed this in my life. Well, in the past, all I've done, I've taken my tie off, swung it around. I've ran the aisles. I've jumped up and down, and I've clapped my hands and all that stuff. But when I was running down, I could feel God so strongly just impressing on me. Do something different. You've always done this, Micah. You have always done the same exact thing. How are you going to expect a different answer or something more miraculous doing the exact same thing? I was running, and I was like, oh, God. I'm going to be so embarrassed. I wasn't even dating Sarah then. I was like, she's going to laugh at me. What if, God, I can't do this. And it's concrete. I've got a white shirt. God, I went running around the tent, and I went to run outside the tent again just to run the aisles. And then finally, I just caved in. And when I went to fall, it's just like I blacked out completely, and the Holy Ghost just completely took over. I started rolling in the concrete, but speaking in tongues and shaking in the Holy Ghost. It was the most wonderful experience ever, but you're not going to get it unless you step out in faith. You're not going to get it or that experience unless you spontaneously get out of your comfort zone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand here tonight. I'm telling you right now, you could be battling something, you could be going through some things, but I want you to really question when we have altar call. I want you to really question when you come up here to the front, and if you really need something, I want you to start asking yourself, have I done this? Is this what I've always done? How important is what I want to me? I want you to start questioning yourself, God, I really need, what if... If it's for someone else, if you have a backslidden relative, you've got something going on, how important is it to you? Do you really, really want it? Do you really want to push for it? Does it matter to you? Does your Holy Ghost matter to you? Or does the things in the world? Are y'all going to do the same thing over? Or does the revival of this church matter to you, young people? Does the intensity that the pastor preached about matter to everyone here? Amen. These altars are open tonight, and I want you to really question how bad you need what you want.